I want to ask you a question. Have you ever heard somebody say, man, life is the pits? You've heard that before, I'm sure. Perhaps you've caught yourself saying that very thing. You found yourself saying, boy, I tell you, life is the pits. And I believe all of us could recognize and identify with that sense, that feeling that things aren't going well. But I want to ask you, what is it that causes a person to feel they're in such a position in life? What could possibly be introduced into our lives that would make us feel so low that it feels as if we are in this imaginary pit, if you will? Maybe it's a feeling that you're in a dead-end job. Has anyone ever been in a dead-end job where you didn't want to go to work in the morning? You know, probably all of us have felt that one time or the other. Or maybe you don't have a job at all. There's so much unemployment today that people feel desperate because maybe it's been months, even years. They've tried to network and they've tried everything they can to put themselves out there only to realize no one's reeling them in. And they feel as if they're in the pits. Maybe it's because they're experiencing a challenge or a broken relationship, and things aren't right at home or in that relationship. It could be between a husband and a wife, or a boyfriend and girlfriend, a parent and a child. There are a number of scenarios. Maybe you're facing a medical challenge, or someone you love is going through a difficult time, and you just feel like you're in a low place in life. Now listen, I could give you a gazillion scenarios why we would feel as if our life is in such a place, such a depression that we find ourselves in. The real question I want to ask today, do you think that's where God wants us to remain? Even though we're there, even though we're feeling the way we feel, does God want us to stay in such a place? This morning, Linda read from Psalm 40, the first five verses. It's a great psalm, by the way. But I want to share with you that David, the great king of Israel, the warrior king who went out and led his armies into battle, the one who took out Goliath with a slingshot, he was in such a place when he wrote this. Think about that. David, the great David. And it's sad, but sometimes we feel as if David felt when he wrote this psalm. Because you know what it says? He lost his song. Have you ever lost your song? Have you ever been in a place where you just didn't feel like singing because of the pressures of life, because things that we have to deal with on an ongoing basis, things that we get ourselves in, we just don't feel right? And the song is plucked out of us. You know, sometimes we get up feeling that way. Sometimes it hits us in the middle of the day. And sometimes it falls on us like a ton of bricks when we put our pillow, heads on our pillow at night. Have you ever gone to sleep at night and you couldn't sleep because everything was running through your brain? How am I going to get out of this mess? And you just can't sleep. I've had many a sleepless nights. Has it ever happened to you? I think so. But we find David in such a place. He's weighted down by the circumstances of his life. Apparently, he has lost his song because, remember, David is a songwriter. David is a musician. David is a person who excelled in music. And he said he had no song to sing when he wrote this. Have you ever felt that you had a song in your life? I mean, things are going really well. Maybe I'm the only one, but you put on Sirius Radio, maybe the 60s, and a song comes on, like ain't too proud to beg by the temptations, and all of a sudden you're into it. You're singing. I mean, David Ruffin has nothing over you. And you're feeling like they could put you right now on the stage at the Patchogue Theater and people would pay to come and hear you sing. That's how good it is, because it's a mountaintop experience, man. I've got a song today. Yeah, life is going great. Could you remember when you were in that same car and you didn't feel like singing? In fact, you didn't even want to talk to anybody. Have you ever been there? You lost your song. You lost your ambition. You lost the fire. And you're in that pit that David speaks of. David, by the way, was having a bad hair day when he wrote, when he started out with this psalm. David was having a day where he had nothing to sing about. And he describes his condition as a pit, but I want to take it even a step further. He doesn't say it's just a pit, it's a slimy pit. And if you know anything about slimy pits, every time you try to get out of it, you slip back down again. And he says, no matter what I've tried, I can't get out of this depression that I'm in. Literally, a depression, a hole. Figuratively, is that hole, I mean? And then literally, depression, meaning you're down and depressed. Things seem hopeless. Now, I want to tell you, I've researched this psalm many times. We're not really sure what brought David down on this particular day, but we realize through the historical record of the Bible and elsewhere that David faced a lot of challenges in his life. I can't even go through them all. He's lost children. He's had his own sons rebel against him. He's had all kinds of issues in his life. We don't know which one it was that caused him to write this, but whatever it is, it caused him to be in the dumps on this particular day. And you know, have you ever been in the dumps? Have you ever spoken to somebody that's in the dumps? I spoke to a friend a while back, and he told me and was very honest with me and said to me, "Chuck, I'm depressed and I can't shake it." He said, it's just messing up my marriage. It's messing me up physically, spiritually, emotionally. I have trouble getting out of bed. I don't sleep well at night. And I can't shake this place that I'm in right now. And that's what David was saying. I'm depressed. Can't shake it. It's messing up my life. And it's not a good place to be. And let me just, can I share this with you? Because you're believers, you're Christians, and I want to say something. Don't be ashamed to say that you're having a bad day, okay? Because I think Christianity has built this misnomer that somehow if you admit to that, you're a horrible Christian, that you must not be a person of faith. I heard one minister once say that if you're struggling physically, it means because you lack faith. There's a Greek word for that. Malarkey. Christians go through trials. Christians go through periods of depression. Christians go through these seasons of life. And it's nothing to be ashamed of or to admit to. David was a man of God. David was a great man of God, and yet he and my friend and maybe you and me at times find ourselves in a position where we feel as if we're in a pit in life, where we're depressed and we feel we just can't get out of it. And it's not a great place to be. It's uncomfortable. It seems dark, damp. It seems alone and hopeless, and it feels impossible to get through another day. My mother, who was... it's debatable if she was even Italian. My grandmother, I should say, she was Sicilian. And my mother, who was Napolitan from Naples, claimed that Sicilians weren't even Italian. But Grandma used to say, in a way, in her own broken English, you can't stop the hands of time. Tomorrow's going to come. No matter how much you fret, and no matter how much you get depressed and you get anxious, tomorrow's going to come. Just remind yourself that the sun's going to come up tomorrow. Who's saying that? Annie. She was right. The sun's going to come out tomorrow. No matter how dark it is where you are today, my friends, don't ever deny that. Maybe there's someone here this morning who's going through a pit experience. Maybe you know somebody who's going through that. Maybe you've been there. Maybe you're going through it now. But I could assure you, we're all going to face a moment like that in the future, going forward. There is this underlying feeling when you're there that there's no hope. But I want to encourage you this morning, my friends, there is hope. And I'm going to tell you why in a moment. Because you see, when we think about being a Christian, and we're supposed to be people of faith, and if you're a person of faith, you should never be depressed, and if you're a person of faith, you should never feel down, you should always be up, you should always walk into church saying, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See, he's never depressed, Bob. But the bottom line is, when you believe that theology, what happens, the bad feelings you're already having, they get worse because now you have a feeling of guilt that you shouldn't be feeling this way. Folks, I have never bumped my shin in the middle of the night and my mouth didn't say, ouch. It's what you're feeling. And you just have to say, you know what? That's what I'm going through right now. And it's real, and I'm not going to deny it. David was a man after God's own heart. If you read 1 Samuel chapter 13, do you know what it means to be a person after God's own heart? This was a man that was sold out to God. There was no turning back for David. And yet he tells us that he's in a pit. And I want to say something. If David could feel like he's in a pit, what makes us think we're any stronger or better than him? So what did he do? I don't want to just leave you and say, amen, let's go to communion. I'll just leave you in the pit. David was in the pit. We leave him in the pit. No, he didn't stay there. I love when it says that David was patient. And the next thing he did in his patience, it says he cried out to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord. He tried everything on his own power. He used all of his resources. Remember, he's a king. He did everything he could on his own. And when he came to the end of himself, he had no choice but to cry out to God in his pit. And here's the good news. The Bible says that Linda just read, it says that God heard his cry, but it gets better than that. God heard his cry and turned to him. What was that movie, Almighty God? God Almighty. I had it backwards. And all those prayers were coming in, and he's hearing everybody shouting at this. And I think to myself, out of all the people praying, out of all the people seeking God around the universe, 24 hours a day, God heard David's prayer and heard his cry and turned to him. And that reminds me every time I pray that I have God's ear. And so do you. And that's good news, my friend. See, when you're in this pit and you try to get out on your own and the walls are high, and the more you stay in that pit, the walls get higher and higher. And it says it's slimy, it's slippery, which means every time you try to set foot and get a footing, you just slip right back down again because you're trying to do it in your own power. You're trying to do it with your own resources. And David tried everything to get out of that pit and it didn't work. And he was stuck. You remember last week I talked about the butterfly in the spider's web and how I set it free? It was stuck. Well, David was stuck in this pit. And it says he cried out to God, and God heard him, and God turned to him, and God lifted him out of that pit. But here's more good news. God didn't just lift him out. God put his feet on a solid rock, on solid ground, a firm place to stand. And isn't that what we're looking for? Isn't that what we want in life, to stand on a solid place, to have peace of mind, to have peace of heart? That's what I seek in my life. I don't need a Mercedes. I don't need a Learjet. I don't need to hit the lottery and become this wealthy person. I don't need a mansion on the water. I want peace in my life. Isn't that what you want? And nobody's looking for a free lunch. Nobody's looking for someone to take over their lives and take over their responsibilities. We're not looking for somebody to carry our load. We're just looking for a place to stand so that we could start over again. At the Wesley dinner, I had a chat with one of the gentlemen that came in off the streets to eat. You know what he said to me? He said, "Reverend, I'm just looking for a second chance. I'm just looking to start over again. I'm looking for that break." And basically what he was saying, I'm looking for a solid place to stand where maybe I could get a job. And then if I get a job, I can get a house. I've got a house. I can get my life back together. He was looking for this. And I love what David writes following this. He says, you know what? God didn't just lift me out of the pit and put my feet on a solid place to stand again. He put a new song in my mouth. No, it wasn't "Ain't Too Proud to Beg." That didn't come out yet. That was like 3,000 years later. Yeah. It wasn't Jerusalem, it was Detroit. But he put a new song in his mouth. And the Bible says here, God gave David a reason to sing again. And God created us for praise. And I think our musician here to my right, she'll agree with this, is that we were created to enjoy music. We enjoy the song. We enjoy singing in the shower. We enjoy listening to a song on the radio. We even enjoy birds singing in our backyard early in the morning, because God created us to praise. He wanted us to sing. Even if you don't have a voice, you should sing. Make a joyful noise. And I want to tell you, I've heard some of you, and it is a noise. No, I'm only kidding. Only kidding, relax. You see, when we're in a pit, we might be singing a song, but it might be a sad song. But you see, when God pulls us out of that pit, he puts a new song in our mouth that's full of joy. And it's full of hope, and it's full of victory, and it's upbeat, and it's exciting. You've been rescued from something bad, and automatically you want to sing God's praises. And what does that do? It gives you a witness. What did he say? He says, many will see what happened to me, and they will fear and put their trust in the Lord. You see, because once we get taken out of the pit, we have a testimony to share with somebody else who might be in a pit to get them out of the pit. We don't just get out and say, oh, it's good for me, and dust ourselves off and skip along life's way. We look for somebody else that might be struggling and give them hope, the hope that we have found. So what do we do when we find ourselves in a pit? Watch how I go through these so fast, your head's going to spin. But listen to them. They work. The next time you find yourself in a pit, and if you're in one now, the first thing you got to do, you can't be rescued unless you realize you're stuck. So number two, don't deny it. Don't go into denial. Don't begin to say to yourself, I'm not in a rut. I'm not in a bad place. Yes, you are. And just admit it. And then cry out to God for your help. Number three. Number four, be patient while God prepares to extricate you out of the pit. Stop kicking and struggling and doing everything on your own with your own resources. You know, you're going to call Dr. Phil and Dr. Oz, and you're calling everybody and his brother to help. Just Be patient. David said, patience while God pulls you out. And then stretch out your hands and receive the line that God's throwing you. Grab it and let him pull you out of that mess. Plant your feet on solid ground. And when you're on that solid ground, receive the power of what it means to be on solid ground, to say, you know what? I'm not going back there again. Lord Jesus, help me. I'm standing on solid ground. And receive that power, and then open your mouth and start singing the new song that God's laid on your heart. And sing it so often and so loud that somebody else who's struggling with depression or who's in a pit and who's in full of despair and hopelessness will hear your song and give them hope to get out of their rut, their depression, and their pit. And so my friend who is in a rut, I prayed a prayer with him. And the prayer was, Lord, my buddy's in a pit and he needs your help. He's in a bad way. He's tired of struggling. He's tired of trying to find a way out of this dark place with his own power, his own strength, his own resources. Stretch out your hand and rescue him and pull him out and put his feet on a solid place, who is your son, Jesus Christ, the rock. Fill him with hope. Fill him with power. Fill him with peace. Put a new song in him that is yet to be sung. Let him be a witness to others that they too might find hope that we have found. And friends, that's my prayer for you this morning. If you're in a pit, if you get into a pit, if you know somebody who's in a pit, encourage them to cry out to the Lord, because the Lord will turn to you or them and he will pull you out and put your feet on solid ground, and he'll insert a new song that's yet to be sung, and people will hear and see that song being sung by you, and you therefore will be hope to others that you have found hope in Christ. And so, Father, this morning, I would just like to pray for those in attendance right now. I don't know what people are going through. I know what some are going through, but not everyone here. I do know one thing, that everybody who comes to church on Sunday morning has a story. Everybody who comes to church on Sunday morning has something that we're dealing with. I may not know, but you do, Lord. And therefore, I just extend a prayer over this congregation, and I pray that they might sense hope for today and for tomorrow, and that they might be encouraged to carry on, knowing that even if they can't walk, you'll carry them the rest of the way. We thank you, Lord, that when we do cry out, you hear us. And you turn to us, and you do something about it, for which we give you thanks in the name of Christ, from where our hope comes. Amen.